Around October, we had to show up at church on a Sunday afternoon to audition. We would have received a script, we would have practiced a few things, and we would pick out a role and we would audition, and the church children's director and the choir director would listen to all of us, and then they would sit and they would post a list, and children were excited, children were disappointed, but then we knew who we were in the pageant. And it wasn't just the Christmas story. No, no, these were specially written pageants that had subplots and subcharacters and angst and all sorts of things. And we would then spend the next 6 weeks practicing the pageant every Sunday after Christmas. Every Sunday after worship leading to Christmas, we would run through the lines and we would practice. We would get our costumes ready. There were sets and we would practice things and we would go home and we would run lines. Oh, would we run lines? Because you had to know what you were doing. You auditioned, you got the part. The whole church was going to be there and you had to get it right. Pageants are a little different now. Not everywhere, but here and other churches where I've served. We talk about building a home where all belong. That doesn't mean that we audition. That doesn't mean that there are cast lists and people walk away. Okay, someone's going to walk away disappointed because there's really only one Mary. And I already heard at least three people ask if they could be. But the point is, there's a place for every single child in the story. That is essential. And what's important this morning is that we hear and know the story of the birth of Jesus. They're going to share it with us. I love that it's them doing so. Now, one of the pageants when I was a child was set in a toy store. And all the toys came to life and wondered what was going on. It was such a big and busy time of year. That was the year I played a robot. And of all things, that was also the year my dad played the janitor who came in and found the toys alive and lovingly sat with them and explained the meaning of Christmas. Now, this was a pretty cool thing. My dad has a degree in theater. He did master's work in theater. He was the guy that would come in and teach Shakespeare to us when I was in elementary school and do monologues and things. It was pretty cool. I mean, my dad was awesome, right? I was a kid. This is where I was. And he was going to be in the pageant with us. This also meant we had some really cool... My dad traveled a lot when I was a kid. And so we had all this time. Anytime he was home, we were running lines together and practicing and doing this together. I got to join the man, the myth, the legend in something. It was exciting. So it's the day of the pageant. And there we are all up on the front of the stage. And, you know, the loving janitor is sitting here talking to the toys. And all of a sudden it gets really quiet. Because my dad forgot his lines. Now, the robot happens to be sitting right here. And the robot happened to have run all the lines at home with him as we were practicing together. So I began going, now you say that. And began feeding him all of his lines. The whole congregation had picked up on exactly what was happening. And you could hear the chuckles. And he just, you know, he'd sort of pause anytime he forgot. And I'd give him the first few words. And he would begin. And that was great. And it was just, it was something to behold. And here's the thing. As we sat there doing this piece, I wasn't embarrassed. He might have been. I wasn't upset. Nobody was. But what happened in that moment is my dad became very real to me. My dad became very, very human. Turns out he's not perfect. Turns out he needs help sometimes. These are things that I would need to know about any person in my life moving forward. And I think of all times, a Christmas pageant is a wonderful moment to be reminded of such things. Because that's really what the pageant is all about. The pageant is about each of us remembering how real this story is. Real people. Real. Mary was real. Jesus was real. We get the story in our mind and suddenly it becomes the man, the myth, the legend of the birth of Jesus. And this is something so real. And so I invite you today, as we hear the children making their way up the stairs, to recognize that things may not be perfect this morning. And that is part of the gift. It is part of the gift for us to see how real and how human the story is. How real and how human God's love becomes. And we get to share that together in community. Ginny?
Long ago, about 2,000 years ago, when King Harold ruled Judea, now part of Israel, God sent the angel Gabriel to a young woman who lived in the northern town of Israel, Nazareth. The girl's name was Mary, and she was engaged to Mary Joseph. The angel Gabriel said to Mary, "Peace be with you. God has pleased you and has blessed you and is pleased with you." Mary was very surprised by this and wondered what the angel meant.
The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid. God has been very kind to you. You will give birth to a baby boy, and you will call him Jesus. He will be God's own son, and his kingdom will never end." Mary was very afraid, but she trusted God. "Let it happen as God chooses," she replied to the angel. Gabriel also told Mary that her cousin Elizabeth, who everyone thought was too old to have children, would have a baby boy whom God has chosen to prepare the way for Jesus.
Mary said goodbye to her families and friends and went to visit her cousin Elizabeth and her husband, Zachariah. Elizabeth was very happy to see Mary. She knew that Mary had been chosen by God to be the mother of his son.
An angel had already told Zachariah that Elizabeth's baby would prepare people to welcome Jesus. He was to be called John. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home to Nazareth.
Joseph was worried, but then an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Don't be afraid." The angel explained that Mary had been chosen by God to be the mother of his son, and told Joseph that the baby would be named Jesus, which means Savior. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel had told him to do.
Now at this time, the land where Mary and Joseph lived was part of the Roman Empire. The Roman Emperor, Augustus, wanted to have a list of all the people in the empire to make sure that they paid their taxes. He ordered everyone to return to the town where their families originally came from and enter their names in a register, or a census. Mary and Joseph traveled a long way, about 70 miles, from Nazareth to Bethlehem, because that is where Joseph's family came from.
Most people walked, but some people were lucky enough to have had a donkey to help carry the goods needed for the journey. Joseph and Mary traveled very slowly, because Mary's baby was about to be born. When they reached Bethlehem, they had problems finding somewhere to stay. So many people had come to register their names in the census that every house was full and every bed was taken. The only shelter that they could find was a stable.
In this place, Mary gave birth to Jesus, the Son of God. In those days, it was custom to wrap newborns tightly in a long cloth called swaddling cloths. Jesus's bed was the manger where the animals ate the hay from. In the hills, in the field, outside Bethlehem, shepherds looked after their sheep through the long night. As the new day began, suddenly an angel appeared before them, and the glory of God was shining around them.
The shepherds were very, very scared. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid. I have good news for you and everyone. Today in Bethlehem, a Savior has been born for you. You will find the baby lying in a manger." Then many more angels appeared, lighting up the sky. The shepherds heard them praising God by singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace to everyone on earth." When the angels left, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem to see what has happened."
So the shepherds went to Bethlehem and found Mary and Joseph. The baby Jesus was lying in a manger, just as they were told. When they saw him, they told everyone what the angel had said, and everyone who heard the story were astonished. Then the shepherds returned to their sheep, praising God for sending Jesus to be their Savior. When Jesus was born, a brand new bright star appeared in the sky. Some wise ones in faraway countries saw the star and guessed what it meant.
The wise ones were very smart and had studied the stars and read in very old writings that when a new star would appear, it would mean a great king was born. They set out to find the new king and bring him gifts. The wise ones followed a star towards the city of Judea. When they arrived in the capital city, Jerusalem, they began to ask people, "Where is the child who's born to be king of the Jews?"
Now Herod, the king of Judea, heard this, and it made him very angry. He was angry to think somebody might be going to take his place as king. Herod sent for the wise ones to come to him. They told them to go on and follow the star until they had found the baby king. He said, "When you have found him, let me know where he is so that I can go and worship him." But Herod did not tell them that he really had an evil plan in his mind to kill the new king.
The wise ones followed the star towards Bethlehem. It seemed to stop and shine directly down upon the place where Jesus was. The wise ones approached the place where Jesus was sleeping, and they bowed down and worshiped him. The wise ones spread the gifts they had brought before Jesus. Those gifts were gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now the wise ones were warned in a dream by God not to go back to Herod. So they returned home to their countries in the east by a different way.
When the wise ones had gone, an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," the angel said. "Take Jesus and Mary and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for Jesus." So Joseph got up, took Jesus and Mary during the night, and left for Egypt. When Herod realized that they had been tricked by the wise ones, he was furious, and he gave orders to find and bring him anyone under the age of 2 in Bethlehem and the surrounding area. This was to try and find the new king, as his plan to find the location of the new king from the wise ones had failed.
After Herod had died, Joseph had another dream in which an angel appeared to him. The angel said, "Get up, take Jesus and Mary, and go back to Israel, for those who were trying to capture Jesus are dead." And Joseph got them up, took Jesus and Mary, and they went back to Israel. But when he heard that Herod's son was now the king of Judea, he was afraid to go there. So instead, they went to Galilee and lived in their old town of Nazareth. And this is the Christmas story.
Can you ask? Thank you guys so much. It is the best telling of the story every single year.